together a little differently today. So let us begin today with our gathering song. As you looked at those names, how many of you, when they were flashing up there, said, "Oh, I've met him there. Oh, I've met him there." How many different ways, how many names under which do we meet Jesus? And as we meet him under those different names, as we see them pop up there, all of a sudden they begin to put images in our mind of who he is and how he presents himself to us and the hope that he gives us through the realities of those different names. Because God uses those names as a word picture for us of how we will meet him and how he interacts with us. God is so wonderful. He knows how we operate because God knows that when he gives us a word picture, we can literally formulate in our minds that very reality, can't we? How many of you here have ever met Jesus as the Lion of Judah, the conqueror over the evils in our lives? Okay, he is the Lion of Judah. And how many of you have met him as Emmanuel, God with us? Okay, how many of us here have met him as teacher? Boy, I hope everybody here has. As you look at all these different names, and there are so many more, that was just the tip of the iceberg. And one of those names that I love, one of those names that to me has meant a lot, and God was one of the first sermons that God ever gave me, and it's one of my coloring book sermons. If you all know what I mean by coloring book sermons, I'll show you here in just a minute. It's one of those sermons where I don't even have notes, okay? When I think about this, and you can turn to John 15. When I think about this, there's my sermon. Okay? My Bible is not in different colors. It's red and white, or red, white, and black, just like yours. But the pink and the blue and the yellow, that's me. Okay? And I don't need a written sermon because everything I need, I don't know, do you see the scribblings in there too? That's all my notes. Okay? And I advise Brother David to have a couple of these in his sermon book too, okay, in his Holy Bible. Because you never know when God's going to ask you to preach a word. And I encourage you to do the same thing because you have no idea when somebody may say something to you and you need to give them a word and here you have it. Already thought out, you know it from the back of your hand because you know the person who's there. You know that reality because you've lived through it. Because you've experienced him. And that's what the names of Jesus allow us to do, is live an experience in which we get to claim him in a certain way. And in this scripture, we find out that Jesus is the vine from John 15 in the first chapter. Because in this reality that we find, and how many of you are watching Moments from the Heart? Okay, I pray that you are. Because you will hear me talking about reality in there all the time. In fact, I started to make fun of myself because that is my word, okay? Reality. Because there is a new reality in Jesus Christ that we are to come unto. And this is part of that reality. Jesus here speaks to us, and he says to us from the 15th chapter, from the first verse, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." I'm going to stop there. I want to chew this up a little bit, okay? And then we'll go on. He says, "I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener." How many of you like discipline? How many of you like discipline? Okay? I do. I like discipline because discipline keeps us straight. Okay? With discipline, we know our boundaries, right? Without discipline, there's no boundaries and there's chaos. Well, the awesome thing about God is he knows boundaries. He knows that as you grow as a branch, you can reach out into all sorts of things and get yourself in trouble, all right? How many of you have ever driven down the road and you see a vine growing up a telephone pole and out across the wires, right? That's not cool, all right? That can cause a fire, right? So God knows where we can go and where we shouldn't be going, and he prunes us. God disciplines us. God cuts us back, but not to harm us, but actually to increase the amount of fruit. Not just the amount of fruit, but the size of the fruit, the quality of the fruit in our lives. Because I used to have apple trees when I lived on my farm, and we moved in, and there was this huge apple tree out there, and it had more branches on it than it had tree. Okay, and that's not good. Yeah, that's not good. There were all kinds of sucker vines on it, sucker limbs on it, and that just pulls from the fruit. That thing would have 10 bushels of apples on it. They would get about the size of a 50-cent piece, would be green, knotty, and hard as all get out. You couldn't eat them. I had no idea what kind of tree it was. I just knew it was an apple tree. My neighbor said, you ought to prune that thing or cut it down. So I started pruning it. I said, how far back should I cut it? He said, well, like I said, you should cut it down. I said, no, I don't want to cut it down. So I whacked it back. And I just kept going and kept going and kept going until it was back to the main limbs. Almost all the branches had been cut off, except for the very small ones, all right? And I thought, man, when it grew out in the spring and shot leaves, I thought, oh, I killed that poor tree because I thought it was going to die. Well, what it forced it to do was fruit like I have never seen before. That thing grew apples. I only got about a bushel of apples off of it because I pruned it so far back. But those apples were the size of grapefruits. And I had a beautiful Stamen wine sap apple. They were the best apple dumplings I've ever made in my life. And no, I didn't give any of them away. But I pruned it, thinking I heard it. I really did. I thought I heard it. But what it did was it helped that tree, and for years after that, number one, it helped me identify the type of tree it was, because by the apple, I could identify it now. Are you getting my picture? By the fruit you bear, so too the world identifies you as one of God's own. And the fruit that it bore was huge and delicious, and the sugars in those, oh my goodness. Stamen wine sap's a little bit of a bitter apple, just a little tart, and that's the kind of apple I like. Oh, man, you'd bite into that, and it was crunchy. You know, a good Stamen wine sap snaps when you crunch on it, right? That thing was so juicy, I could not believe how good that was. And that's the fruit of the Lord. It is so filled with flavor and goodness, okay? God is going to prune us. He says, I'm already in you. You're already clean. In other words, you've already been cleaned up. All the sin has been taken care of. And now you're ready to bear good fruit. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. But please remember, God's going to prune some things out of your life. And a lot of us don't like that pruning, do we? But God, I want my sin. And God says, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't need it. You don't need it. And when we finally submit to Him, the fruit that we begin to bear is good fruit. Let's move on. He says, I am the vine. Huh, sounds familiar. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. One of the first things that we need to understand about this is Jesus is telling us we need to remain connected. We need to remain connected in Him and with Him. Okay, I'm not putting my Bible down. How many of you noticed last week that because I was walking around, I was off my notes? All right. How many of you caught the blooper last week? My wife better raise her hand because she caught it as soon as we got home. She told me all about it. Dan caught it because when I was over at the house, he made fun of me. How many verses are in Romans 5?
21.
And what did I say? 5 and 38, right? Well, it's Romans 8 and 38. So last week I made a blooper. So I'm not putting my Bible down today because I'm not making a blooper. But here we go. We need to remain connected, all right? One of the things we also need to realize, and if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, and let me let me look at my notes here. Romans 11 and 17, and that's for you to do later, all right? Write that down, Romans 11 and 17. You will find out that you are engrafted branches. You are not natural branches. When Jesus was speaking here, he was speaking to the people in Israel. Remember, he was speaking to the Jews at this point in time, okay? So he was talking to those who were of the vine. And here he is using a grapevine as his example, all right? But we are engrafted branches, so we are grafted into this tree. We are grafted into this vine. And we need to remember, Jesus says, I am the vine. Because can a branch, if it is taken off of a vine, can it grow? No, it needs to be connected to the vine, which is connected to the roots. Now, you can do that thing where you splice it and put it in the ground and nurture it very well, and it may throw its own roots, all right? But we're not talking about that kind of thing. God is talking to us in a very real way that there is one good root that brings forth all the goodness of our universe. Who is that root? That root is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity. Out of that Trinity comes forth Jesus Christ into our lives. All right? He is the vine. God the Father, our triune God, is the root from which all good things come. And if we wish to produce good fruit, we have to be in Him. We, who are Gentiles, need to be engrafted into this vine. All right? And if you ever go to a vineyard, you'll find that they do this stuff quite often. In fact, with fruit trees, they do this often. They graft a new limb onto a rootstock to make the smaller trees, okay? And they'll even do it to cross two different types of apples to give you a different type of apple, all right? Did you ever know that's how they do that? I mean, I learned a lot of stuff when I lived on the farm. Some things you don't need to know. I did learn that. Some things you just don't need to know. But here we need to remember that Jesus is telling us we need to be connected, not just in touch, okay? Not just in touch. Because when we show up on Sunday, we're in touch. But when you walk with Jesus Monday through Sunday, you're connected, all right? You got to be in the Word because this is where the root comes from, all right? We got to be in the Word because He is the Word. And if we're in the Word, reading the Word, being immersed in who He is, we will begin to bring forth good fruit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, this is the neat thing. God the Father is the root. Jesus Christ the Son is the vine. The Holy Spirit is the sap that comes up through. And this is the awesome part here. As we look at those three working, He puts us in all that. And all of a sudden, we begin to bring forth fruit. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Where's that fruit come from? It comes from the nourishment from the root. It comes from the stability, because if the vine isn't well enough to take care of it, the vine's not going to allow you to grow fruit. It comes from Him. We are simply the external source, because everything that you bear forth comes from Him. It comes from Him. He is that life-giving source. So without Him, we cannot bear anything. If you don't have that root, which is bringing to you the sap, the Holy Spirit, you're not going to bear anything. You can't bear anything without Him. How do I know that? Well, what does it say here? If a branch is picked off of the vine, it withers, right? That's what happens in the lives of people. Now, you say to yourself, now, wait a minute, Pastor Rich. There's a whole bunch of people out there who do good works. You know, there are people out there who do good things, and it looks good to the rest of the world. You know, they build orphanages, and they build schools, and, you know, they make millions of dollars. And it withereth, for those things shall burn and pass away. Because it is only in Christ Jesus that what we do lasts for eternity. That is fruit that never perishes. Though it may seem as though it will, because time goes by, it's in God's storehouse. And nothing in God's storehouse is ever wasted. Okay? There's no expiration date on the things that God produces. That's reality. And that's where we need to remember. God wants us to stay connected in Him. Stay in Him. The next thing He says from verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, this is not an easy road, okay? This is not an easy road. And I also want you to see something. The words here, he says that we are to remain in his love, right? And we are to love each other as he has loved us, right? Now, I need to ask you a very serious question. Do you think God likes everything you do? Does he love you? Yes. There's a difference. Don't get confused. There is a lot of things that you and I do that God does not like, but he loves us just the same. All right? And it's the same in our world. There are going to be people out there who are just going to rub you the wrong way, and none of us have any of those people in our lives, right? I'm the only one. Don't name names, I'll tell you that right now. But when we come into their presence, we don't have to like them. But you better love them. Wait a minute, Pastor. How can I love them if I don't like them? That's one of the easiest things that you can ever do. Because to love someone says, I choose, in spite of all the things that are between us, I choose to still be here for you and with you to give you what I have as far as the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I choose to make you part of my life, even though you rub me the wrong way and I could spit nails every time we part. Okay? And you all know what I mean. Some of you are out there shaking your heads like, yeah, okay, oh my goodness. I got one of them in my life. Because the reality is, love is a choice. It's not an emotion. The warm and fuzzies that you get when you do love somebody and it's a blissful thing, that is an emotion. All right? But I hate to tell you this, there are days when I'm just not so warm and fuzzy towards my wife because she wouldn't let me buy something. But every day of my life, when I wake up, she is my, to quote a phrase that I really don't like, soulmate. I would not want my life without her. I choose to love her every day of every day of every day, every moment of every day, because she is my wife. And I'll defend her, and I don't care if she's 100% wrong. I'll defend her, and when we get alone, then I'll tell her she was wrong. Okay? Unto death do we part. And you know, we need to remember, that's what Jesus is saying here. Until death do we part. When you're in me, I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. Remain in my love, and I'll remain in your love. That's how it works. Choose one another. God says, choose me, and I'll love you forever. I'll love you forever. And also, one of the things I want you to understand, you do realize that this speaks of some delayed gratification here. All right? This really does speak of some delayed gratification here. Because God, you know, he wants us to have everything, right? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't it amazing how we all want that stuff now? Wait a minute. Are we eternal beings? Yes, we are. In Christ Jesus, we are. And if that's the case, a lot of what we're going to get is in eternity. A lot of the things that are going to happen in our lives are in eternity. This point here, where we're living here, this is where we get to grow up. You know, you thought you were all grown up. Well, I hate to tell you this, we ain't grown up. We all have a long way to go. But God tells us here to remain in his love, and all these things are going to come to us. And he also says, and this is one of the things that we have to really, really watch. He says, I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Okay? So that's good. Jesus is following what his God says. And what does he tell us to do? The exact same thing. Look what he says here. He says, if you obey my commands. Does he tell you you have to? No, he doesn't, does he? We get to choose. Just as we get to choose to love, we get to choose to obey. But the thing you need to look at here is the reality that Christ is putting between the two. They are connected. Because if you truly love him, you will choose to obey him. That's the true sign of love unto God, is choosing to obey him over all the other things that are out there. So, he is the vine. He's going to prune us that we may bear good fruit. He is the vine that he has engrafted us into him because we are Gentiles. We are not of the line of David. Okay? He is asking us to love him, to choose to love him, and in choosing to love him, to choose to obey him because that's truly the sign of love. And in that, we will bear good fruit. We will bear up. And the last thing he says here from verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love one another. In this piece of Scripture, in this last piece of Scripture, Jesus says that we are his friends. Jesus tells us that he has laid down his life for us. That is a reality. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for us. We all know it. We just celebrated that reality of the cross from Maundy Thursday to Easter Sunday, and then the resurrection unto new life. And we all know that, and we all claim that. And if we love him, we are going to do what he commands. He doesn't call us servants anymore because he says we know his business. All right? What is his business? It's right here, folks. It's the gospel. It's bringing people to saving grace. It's not about a job. We all have jobs because we need them so we can live. All right? It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about sharing the reality of our Lord. That is the trueness of what he's asked us to do. And then to walk in his ways. Not to walk in his way, to walk in his ways. All right? There's a big difference there, just with the connotation of how you say that, isn't it? I mean, boy, I'll tell you, I love to have people walking in the way of the Lord, but when you start to walk in the way of the Lord, look out, you may get hurt. And it's up to us to help people determine where they really are, especially within the church. Because there are many of us who still have blinders on in some areas of our lives, don't we? And that's where iron sharpens iron. We need to come alongside our brothers and sisters and help them grow because that's what we're here for. Because Jesus has shown us the way. Another thing he says here, and I love this, you know, there are so many theologians out there who say, well, you know, the day you chose the Lord, whoa, what, huh? Do you believe the Scripture? Scripture says, you did not choose me, I chose you. You see, God loved us first, before any of us were created. We need to understand this from the reality of what is written. Before any of us were created, God knew every one of us that was going to be, all right? And God chose us way before we were even thought of. Before there was anything, God chose us. He knew the mess you were going to make of things. He knew the mess I was going to make of things. And he still chose me. He still chose you. That's why you're here. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now, there is a whole world of people out here in Lebanon that need to be here. And the only way they're going to get here is if you and I are about our Father's business. Just as Jesus was about His Father's business, we need to be about our Father's business, bringing people into the house of the Lord. And you know what? There are some folks that in order to get them here, you're going to have to go on Sunday morning and pick them up. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, but I invited them, Pastor. Oh, wonderful. Did you go get them? Well, no. Why not? You show up on their doorstep honking your horn, somebody's going to come to the door. I invited you to church. Well, I'm not ready. That's fine. We can be 10 minutes late. Do you think they're going to run inside and act like they didn't see you? They're going to say, that nut's out there waiting on me. I got to get ready for church. I can't believe I'm going to church. Praise Jesus. Get them in the door. Get them under the Word. Get them a little pruned and they might start to grow some fruit. Because Jesus is the vine we need them connected to. And we need to get them into that source. And when we can get them into that source, God can produce in their lives a good fruit that they are never going to want to turn from. How many of you, knowing the fruit God has put into your life and the good things that are coming your way, how many of you right now would just say, oh, yeah, that doesn't mean anything, just throw it all away? Man, I have never met a Christian that would ever do that. I have never met a Christian who would ever do that. And I can honestly say, if we get those people in here, if you start bringing those people in and they literally start coming under the Word. Now, yeah, people say to me all the time, Pastor, we get visitors, they come in and then they leave and we never hear from them again. And, you know, hey, that's fine. That's fine. They heard the Word. All right? They heard the Word. God says, my Word will not go forth and return to me void. We have no idea what's going to happen to those people down the road. But if we are persistent, just as Jesus was persistent. Now, I got to ask some of you, how old were you when you finally turned your life over to the Lord? I'm going to tell you how old I was, okay? I walked with the Lord for a number of years as a kid, just like most of us did, because our parents were quasi-Christians, okay? And I went through baptism, where this big guy I thought was God made me wet. I had no idea why. Then I went through confirmation, and I learned the books of the Bible, the Lord's Prayer, and the Ten Commandments. That was my confirmation. I had no idea what anything else meant, but I was confirmed. I was a Christian, sealed and delivered. Really. 18 years old, tried to kill myself. God stepped in and stopped me. Praise His name. I do every day. Was I walking with the Lord? Nope. You know when I started walking with the Lord? I mean downright got serious. Because it was amazing. By the time I turned 26 years old, I started listening to Chuck Swindoll and D. James Kennedy and Tony Evans. And I mean the whole slew of them. But you know when I got real? I got real when I turned 32 years old. God put me on my face. And He laid His hand on me. I never felt anything like it in my life. He pressed me down on my bed. And He said, I couldn't move. And He said to me, choose for yourself this day, for you will have no further choice. I knew that my choice that day was either life or death. Moses spoke it to Israel, choose for yourselves this day, life or death. And that's the choice that we have. That's the choice that we need to help bring others to and to help them choose life. Because we know the Father's business, because we're going to build fruit that lasts. We're not talking about jobs. We're not talking about cars. We're not talking about houses. We're not talking about vacation properties. We're not talking about 401(3)s. We're not talking about IRAs. We're not talking about any of that stuff that we're going to let here because there ain't never been a U-Haul gone to heaven. We're talking about the eternal nature of your very soul, who you are in your reality that you don't even see, but God sees it. Okay? This is the hymn of promise, Miss Sally. This is the hymn of promise. Because there's a time coming when we're going to bloom, when we're going to blossom, when we are truly going to yield the fruit of righteousness like we've never seen it before. And that's going to come when we are in His presence, and the fruit from the vine is going to be so full, so ripe, that there will be no one hungry, there will be no one thirsty, for we will be in the righteousness of God every day of our lives. We will not, this is funny, because people have said to me, Pastor, when you get to heaven, are we going to eat, are we going to drink? Well, I imagine you could, but who would want to? Because we're going to eat and drink every word of God. Scripture tells us that. Jesus said to us, man does not live but by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. So when we get to heaven, we're going to be eating food like you have never tasted in your lives. Food that sustains unto eternity, where your body will never decay. Fruit from the vine, fit for a king. Think of that, because that's what you're to be doing right now. Bearing fruit for the king, the choicest of the choice. He is the vine, and may we ever be in Him and He in us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You so much for this day, and we thank You for this word. As You have given us that reality, You are the vine and we are the branches. Empower us to be Thy love and grace, Thy divine in all that we are and do. For these things we pray Thee in the name of He who is the vine, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As we turn back to the Word, I need you all to know that I preach this Word with a little bit of apprehension. You may turn to John chapter 10. I preach this Word with a little bit of apprehension because the last time I preached this, I got two broken legs. Okay, but this is how much this word means to me, that I will preach it again, because God in it showed me a part of just what it means to be the good shepherd. Because the next word that we're going to look up, the next name that we're going to be looking at, is where Jesus says to us that He is the good shepherd. And we need to understand that when He says He is the good shepherd, whose level of good is He talking about? His. Not our level of good. Because in our level of good, according to the Romans, it says, no one is good, no, not one, for no one seeketh God. All right? We need to understand that God doesn't look at people the way we look at people. God looks at us as to what we need to become His image once again, to have that communion with Him. And Jesus in this tells us that He is the good shepherd from verse 11. In chapter 10, the book of John. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolves coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. This is a word to the churches. All right? This really is a word to the churches. You need to be very careful of the person you're calling shepherd, the pastor, the person you're calling pastor. Because if the man or woman that you are calling shepherd or pastor, which means the same thing, in times of trouble, is that person going to be there, or are they going to abandon you? Are they going to let you to the wolves and let the wolves have at you? And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He will never leave us nor forsake us. In fact, He laid His life down on the cross of Calvary for us. He showed us that He is faithful to the very end. And in Him there is no end, because He raised up from the dead again. And that is a reality that you can hold on to. That no matter what comes your way, no matter how big it may seem, it's not bigger than God. And the shepherd, the good shepherd, will be there to protect you. in the Scriptures, as I said, it speaks of that hired hand. And that's what a lot of pastors are. They're hired hands, okay? They're employees of a entity because they have chosen a vocation. They've chosen a job. But there are men and women out there who realize that we have been called, called to serve, called to be as Christ to the church, no matter what the cost, no matter what the cost. And we are not allowed to leave, because the moment we do, then we are not in Christ ourselves. And we too must be willing to lay our lives down for our sheep. Are you willing to lay your life down? Are you willing to lay your life down? We need to remember, there are those, they've been called martyrs, who were asked and who successfully stood the test. Because in that great and fateful day, God met them with all the strength that was Him. And they entered glory. They didn't think about death, they were thinking about life. And that's the difference. Because in Christ, we don't think about death, we think about life. Life everlasting. The next thing he says here from verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. How many of you literally understand that God knows your name? And when I say that, he doesn't just know your name, because how many of us know names of people that they'll walk into a room and they say, oh yeah, I know that guy. Oh, what was his name? Oh, John, that's John. No, when I say God knows your name, He knows everything you've ever done and everything you're ever going to do. He knows you so intimately true that there is nothing that you can't tell Him, because He already knows it's happened. And He has loved you beyond it. Did you catch that? He has loved you beyond it, unto eternity, when He will know you in the fullness of what He has in store for you. See, this is something so important. There are so many people out there, they're walking around, and they're wondering, does God even know I exist? Yeah, He knows every one of us. He even knows those of us who won't choose Him, all right? Because whether we want to admit it or not, we are the sheep of His pasture. Because none of us are here of our own creation. How many of you created yourself? We thought ourselves into existence, right? No, God thought us all into existence through Adam and Eve, all right? Please understand, and this is again where we get into this, you know, pastor has these little idiosyncrasies. How many of us here are created in the image of God? Keep your hands down. None of us. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. Adam and Eve sold that image for a meal. We, according to the book, all right, Genesis in the 5th chapter, we are procreated in the image of sinful Adam, all right? Now, the original genetic material, yes, it was created by God. But when sin entered in, now we have disease and sickness and mental illness and all these other things, because we are no longer that perfect image of God, but we are the sinful, broken image of a sinful, broken man. Please understand that, all right? I hate when pastors say, oh, well, you are God's child. You are created in His image. Well, if I'm created in God's image, then everything I am, all my sin and everything else, that's perfect because God made me this way. No, He didn't. Sin made you this way, and that sin was procreated unto you. Thank you, great, 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 Grandpa Adam. All right? We need to think straightly about these realities. But here's the awesome part. This is why Jesus says, in order to get into heaven, you must be what? Born again. And that's to be born of the Spirit. And the only one who can bring us into that reality is Jesus Christ, because He died for us. And then He was raised from the dead. When we go into the baptism, we are taken into His death. When we go under the water, and you've all heard me say it so many times before, if I held you down there, once we get you there, we could make it happen. But we don't. Why? Because Christ was raised to newness in life. And when you come out of that water, which is the washing of the Word, do you see all the symbolism in baptism? God is talking to us. He's getting real. And He's telling you, in that reality, I'm bringing you back up and giving you the life of my Son. You're given resurrected life, new life in Him. And the shepherd says to us, I'm going to give you new life in me because I'm going to be the one who's going to lay down my life for you, right? And I know who you are. I know everything about you. All you need to remember is that you are mine. Now, some of us are pretty much, you know, some of us, we ain't sheep, we're goats. Miss Amy liked that one. Some of us are goats, right? Well, let's cut the horns off and shear the wool and let's all become sheep, okay? Because we sing the song, I want to be like you. Nobody's laughing at that joke, okay. Root just got it. I want to be like you, the female sheep. Oh man, it just loses something when you have to translate. Anyhow, God knows who we are, and He wants us to understand that He knows us, and He does whisper our names. He does whisper our names. And then He goes on from that point. He says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Now, please remember, when Jesus was speaking this, He was speaking to Israel. He was speaking to those of the bloodline, all right? But He says, I have other sheep, not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. You see, God knows that there are other lost sheep out there in the world. But those sheep are still His sheep because God created us all. And when God came, He initially came first to the Jew, then to the Gentile, right? That's what Scripture says. And we need to remember, He's talking directly to us. He's letting us know that even though we weren't of this sheep pen, we were still His sheep on the varied hills and plains. How do we know that? Because God created Adam and Eve, didn't He? Okay? And then they lived for a number of years, and all of a sudden God says, I am sick and tired of man, so He floods the earth. Did He kill everybody? No. He saved one man and his family, Noah. And from Noah and his sons, we have all of us. So our lineage can be traced back, that we know we truly are the sheep of God's pasture. And in that reality, He says, I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm going to give you all that I am. Because even though you went to the othermost places of the earth, you can't go anywhere to get away from the Master. The Good Shepherd, you're still His sheep. You just haven't been at the sheep pen. He needs to come out and get us because we're at other places. That's you and I. And right now, there's a whole bunch of sheep out there at other places that we need to get in this place. We need to grow this place up, that we are overflowing, that we're running two services. Okay, I've heard it said, you know, and it was that, you know, well, do we have a plan for when we're going to move out of here? Well, I'm going to tell you all right now. We ain't leaving this place until we pack it. What? Think about this. Here's your reality. All of you people here right now, every one of you that's here right now, we're almost all of us are here every Sunday. We've got some folks in. It's good to see you. Good to have you. And the reality is we pay the bills. And that's it. Brother Rick. Where's Brother Rick? There he is. Miss Virginia. Oh, she went out with the baby. It's so strange to see Miss Virginia with a baby, but it's cool too. Pete, where are you? He raised his hand. He walked right into that one. Carly likes a little sister. But when we look at our treasury notes, we're paying the bills, right? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And if we want to see just how good, we need to get involved and get another sheep in here because we aren't going to move out of here until we're able to afford it. God doesn't want His people living in credit. God wants His people living unto Him. And as we grow the church, because we've been faithful, and we get other sheep in this pasture, He's going to allow the treasury to grow, and we're going to be able to go and do and be the things of the Lord. So when we hit 150 people, and we've got you all back straight again because we can't do the fanned out thing, and this place is packed, then we will look about building a church. Because until then, we're not going to have the funds to do it. Do you know how many places this school has birthed? I know of three. Three churches have been birthed out of this school. Every one of those churches that went forth to become a fullness of a church grew to the point that they were having two services in here, and then they finally went out, and they've become huge churches in our community. I don't know about you, but it seems like God has a standard. Are we going to come up to the standard, or are we going to try and create a new one? Hey, there ain't nothing new under the sun. God says, this is the way I am and who I am. So we need to get people in here to hear the word. And we need to let them know, too, that you know what? Our style of worship may not be contemporary, but are you hearing the word? Because so many people get so involved in the music that they forget the word. Are you coming under the word? I can remember when Bill Hybels said, oh my goodness, I've got a whole church full of unbelievers, because they were coming for the entertainment. I mean, where can you go? It doesn't cost anything to come to church. You can put a dollar in there. Man, that's the best concert I've ever been to. Cost me $1, no cover charge. And the coffee was free. Pastor got on a rant there. We'll get back to the sermon now. But we will grow as the sheep come in, as we realize that we too our shepherds, and we need to be out there helping to get those sheep into the sheep pen. That's a place where you have to walk. The next thing he says here, he says, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. How many of us listen for the voice of Jesus Christ? How many of us do what we're going to do and then say, now God bless it? I got an honest deacon. God, I love him. Because how many of us do that? We do. We get up in the morning and we start our day, and we get about halfway through and we got things going and we're wondering why things aren't going right. And then we finally look up and say, God, where are you? And he looks down and says, well, I was here, but this morning you weren't. Isn't that the truth of it? We know His voice. We hear His voice. We need to walk by His voice. We need to seek His voice and then move. The next thing He says to us, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Blessed be the word of the Lord. The shepherd has already given his life for all the wolves that are ever going to attack in our lives. For all the things that are ever going to come our way, he has already laid his life down for the sheep. Now, one of the things you need to understand, sheep, and this is where it gets preachy for me, the shepherd takes care of his sheep. And we all think that's warm and fuzzy. Oh, God cares for us. And we just sang the song that he lifts us up and carries us. Well, do you know there's a reason why he lifts us up and carries us? Actually, there's two. The first is that if a sheep is sick, the shepherd will carry the sheep. The second is there are sheep that run away. And sometimes to get that sheep to stop running away, the shepherd has to break their legs. Because it's the only way to get that sheep to realize that the shepherd really does love you, and I have your best interest and care in mind. He breaks the legs of the sheep, not to be mean, but to train that sheep up. Because while the legs are broken, the shepherd carries that sheep everywhere. He hand feeds it, he hand waters it, he hand grooms it, to the point where that sheep loves that shepherd so much and knows the love and care that is there, that it does not ever want to go anywhere but where the shepherd is. And you all know that happened to me. because I was ready to leave all of you. And he said, no, you're not. And he broke my legs because he loves you. And he wanted me to, too. And I'm glad he did. I really am. Every time I pain, I think of you. In a good way. I do mean that. It does remind me. Just this past week, with all the rain and what have you, and climbing up and down Russell's staircases, my hip bothered me. But guess who I think of every time it bothers me? And not in a bad way. But I remember what he did to me. And I remember how much he loves you and how much I love you and how much it reminds me. God's discipline is for good. The shepherd disciplines us for our good because he is the good shepherd. And when we stand under that discipline, when we come under that nurture, we grow in love and grace. So today, submit yourselves to the good shepherd and allow him to carry you in your times of need and allow him to feed you, to take you to good pastures, to lead you beside quiet waters, because he is the good shepherd, the gentle shepherd.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.